Hey, greetings, everybody. This is Brother Two Post on Parish.com, John 424 Radio. Hope you're all doing well today. Hey, I want to come to you and bring you another audio teaching. We are set up today. I got a nice office view of a nice big parking lot. We got a little bit of a green space. Beautiful, beautiful day. Windy day. And I'm working online. Wanted to do a teaching, offer up edification to saints and seekers if they're listening. Today we're going to talk about Mark 9, 38 through 40 explained. This is where the disciples say, hey, there's a guy out there casting out demons in your name and he's not with us. And Jesus says, if he's not against us, he's for us. And I want to talk about this scripture verse. I had a man email me. I don't know him. He emailed me out of the blue. He said somebody else gave him our website. And he asked me if I would explain Mark 9, 38 through 40. And again, the question involves that man outdoing, casting out demons in Jesus' name, and they weren't part of the disciples. So we're going to talk about this and try to rightly divide it. Let's read the verses first, and then we'll get to it. Mark 9, 38 and 40. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us. And we forbade him, because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. For he that is not against us is on our part. All right, so I've experienced this verse before, people bringing this. And most times, I don't know what this gentleman's angle on it is, but most times people take this verse and what they will say is that we can't call out other people's false doctrines, false ways, or sin because they're not united to us, they're not with us, and they're doing it in Jesus' name. We better be careful. Just because they have different doctrines, different ways, doesn't mean we shouldn't call them out because they're probably with us. Well, I'm going to reject that outright because it doesn't stand up against God's word when we look at it in completeness. And so we're going to test that today. I'm going to explain to you and discuss some key reasons why I don't think it falls under that idea that people are saying. Make sure that you're not calling out other people because they're probably with Jesus, even though we know they're in sin or we know they're teaching false doctrine. Let's go to the word and let's rightly divide this, as it says in 2 Timothy 2, cut it straight. I like that. Rightly divide. Cut the word of God straight. All right. I got a few points here I want to cover with you. First, always study in context. The context here is not a man out teaching doctrine, not a man even out preaching the gospel, not a man who's a teacher, leader in a body. The whole context here is a man casting out demons in Jesus' name. If you just read this verse, these verses for just what it says, there's no indication of any false ways, heresy, nothing else mentioned about this man. Keep in mind, this is in the first century. Christ is still walking the earth. The Holy Spirit hasn't even come yet. The New Testament body hasn't even been formed yet. Jesus told Peter in Matthew 16, he will establish his body. Christianity was at its early, pure form. Have you pondered this? There literally was no false denominations, no Christian cults, no Christian false teachers way back then. Now, 2,000 years later, what do we have? We have 40,000 different denominations, cults all over, people twisting Jesus' words, people calling themselves the Christ, people saying Jesus is the Christ and still teaching false ways. And the Bible, in Ephesians 5:11, commands us to expose the ways of evil. So in the context, this couldn't be a man who's out doing false doctrine and false ways, because that would go against God's word in this context. And it also doesn't fit the narrative that there was a bunch of false Christian ways back then, because there wasn't. There was a few heresies going around that Paul had to deal with, but clearly not like it is today. And this man was not involved in false teaching. He was only casting out demons in Jesus' name while not being united and associated to them. So the Bible teaches us all over its pages, we're commanded to not be spoiled by man-made doctrines and philosophies. Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy, vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. No indication this man was doing anything unbiblical or heretical at all. That's the first point I want to make. So in context, this is only about casting out a demon, nothing else. All right, moving on. Notice they said, he follow not us. As if us, as if they're the only ones that could have the truth, right? It wasn't, again, as my first point made, it wasn't about false doctrine at all. It was about demon casting, which was being done back then. What this shows is that many people or various people can be doing God's work, but we aren't all face-to-face united in the faith, right? I mean, there's people out doing the Lord's work I don't even know about. There's people out doing the Lord's work I might see in an article. There's people out doing the Lord's work that I might hear about. I'm not united to them. How can I say, hey, you can't be doing that, you're not united to me? That's ridiculous. Now, if I knew them, I would test their doctrine, I would test their gospel, I would test their way of manner of life. Yeah, before I united to them. But to just carte blanche say, hey, they're not with us because we're not face to face. No, that is outside of what would be proper. How does the gospel get spread all over the world? By people going out, right? And spreading the gospel, right? Doing the Lord's work. And then they said they forbade him. I have a question. Do mere men have the authority to forbid another man to speak in Jesus' name? I don't think so. I think that's only Christ and Christ alone. And it's always going to be predicated on doctrine, sound truth, teaching, the gospel. Yeah. So they saw him. He wasn't with them. They forbade him. They were upset because he wasn't united to them. This is the disciples being in grave error. In fact, Jesus basically rebukes them. We'll see. They had a wrong mindset. I'm going to prove that to you. He rebukes them in another area close to the scripture and close to the companion verse to this. Seems to me like pride was involved here too. Hey, we're with Jesus. We're doing all this stuff. What are you doing over there, man? How can you be doing it too? God hates pride, Proverbs 6:17. So watch out. It's abomination to him. We can't have pride. We can't have envy. We can't have covetous ways. Hey, that guy's doing more work than we are. You know, I see that too. I see men doing ministry work and other people get jealous because they're doing ministry work. That's not right. If you want to do ministry work, go do it. But don't be angry about another man doing it as long as it's being done biblically and in order to sound doctrine. Amen? All right, my next point. We have to use always good exegesis and extract all the truth from Scripture and then base it on doctrine and the Word of God, not one lone area of Scripture or a few verses. Proof texting, that's where you take out one verse and build a theology about it, and eisegesis, I'm going to take out what I wanted to say rather than exegesis at exiting all the truth. This is the cause of most all theological ditches that I see today. And it's a very, very bad way to study God's word. Scripture, remember this. Scripture never contradicts Scripture. Scripture helps us interpret Scripture. So we can know what is a false doctrine by reading all of God's word and comparing it to it and knowing that Christ is the truth, John 14:6, and he never would allow any false way. Done. End of story. Right there. No sin in him, no darkness in him. He would not have approved of anyone spreading false doctrines. Apostle Paul is the same, and I will give you a verse on that in a moment. Jesus is the one that said, you must worship in spirit and truth, John 4:24. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. Jesus said, if you keep man-made doctrines, you worship God in vain, Mark 7. Paul, with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said in Romans 16:17, mark those who cause divisions who have left sound doctrine. In Titus 3, he says, mark a heretic, that's anyone who teaches false doctrine, and reject them. So, in fact, all of God's word, Old Testament, New, teaches us against false doctrine. And even John tells us that we don't even say Godspeed to a false teacher and one that doesn't bring the doctrines of Christ. So, if we use all of God's word, we're going to see it wouldn't make any sense if this guy's out there teaching a bunch of false ways and he casted a demon out in Jesus' name. So, hey, he's with us. No, we're only with each other if we're united in Christ and Christ is sound doctrine. Does that make sense? Paul also taught us by inspiration of the Holy Spirit that we should all be speaking the same things and be of one mind united. Go read 1 Corinthians 1:10. How are you going to do that if this guy's off teaching all kinds of false doctrine? You're not, and he wasn't, all right? He wasn't. And Scripture tells us, Psalm 119:104, that we're to hate every false way. So how can we hate false ways and unite to people that keep false ways and claim that we're doing the Lord's work? We're not, all right? We're not. So based on these scriptural truths, and there's so many more, go to my teaching blog and look up the articles that I put out there about sound doctrine, thousands of them. We can rightly assume that Jesus is not approving of this man that's casting out demons, and this man's not teaching false doctrine, not leading people astray, not in apostasy. There's no darkness in Christ or God, the Father, or the Spirit. There's no lies in them. There's no compromise in them. If you recall, if we use all of God's word, in Acts 5, God killed a husband and a wife for one lie. How then would Jesus approve of this man going out teaching lies and saying he's not against us, he's with us? It wouldn't happen. It's just not true. So when we use the whole puzzle of God's word and put it together, we see a clear picture. This man clearly was not teaching false doctrine. The context is demon casting in Jesus' name, and he wasn't opposed to them. All right? My next point. A man is simply doing acts of faith, but he's not united to Jesus or the disciples. No sin in that. Scripture teaches by faith the works of God can be done by other people. You don't have to be walking with Jesus face to face or walking with the disciples. We don't today, and we can do the works of God. We can preach the gospel. We can rebuke. We can teach. We can correct. In Mark 9, Christ says this, Mark 9:23, ready? Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That's what he said, right, in that same chapter. So it's not a stretch to think others were off doing things in Jesus' name, but not directly related to Jesus or his disciples. Makes perfect sense to me. Let me bring up another account to you. Acts 8, Philip and the Ethiopian chariot driver gets baptized. Philip's taken away. That guy goes off and goes back to Ethiopia. We can only assume that this man was baptized in the Lord, and he went on his own to do what? To go preach the gospel, to be led by the Holy Spirit, to teach sound doctrine. That's how the faith, again, was spread globally, all around the world. That's why it's the biggest faith in the world today. And that's how it's done, by people going forth. Jesus said, go preach the gospel. We don't all have to be glommed together in one group. So that's another point. I have another point for you. Ready? The motive of the disciples is all wrong here, right? And the companion verses prove it. Ready? Luke 9:49-50 is the companion verse. It says this, and John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followed not with us. And Jesus said unto them, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. This man was not against them. That means he's not teaching false ways. He's not in sin. He's not defaming Christ. He's not going out and leading people astray. He was only casting demons out in Jesus' name. The motive of the disciples, their heart, was wrong. I'm going to prove it to you. These verses, right after those, these are right before the ones I just read, they start arguing about who's the greatest. Ready? Luke 9:45-46. But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them. God always hid the truth from those that had issues with the truth. And that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask of him of that saying. Then there arose reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. Now, if you know anything about Christ and his ministry, he always taught people, be a servant, be lowly, be meek, be humble. Not to lift yourself up and see who is the greatest. Even the greatest man who ever lived, John the Baptist, Jesus said was John the Baptist, he said, I got to decrease so Christ can increase. So if the greatest man who ever lived was lowly, how low should all the rest of us be? Even lower. Amen? I think that's true. So there was pride and there was sin coming in, and they did not have pure actions before the Lord or before this man. And look at this, Luke 9:54-56. And when his disciples and James saw this, now what they saw was people rejecting Jesus in a town. Hear this, what they wanted to do. This is the heart of his disciples at the time. This is before the Holy Spirit. They didn't have complete understanding. They said, Lord, will thou command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did, or as Elijah? 55, but he turned and he rebuked them. Yeah, Jesus rebuked people. It's biblical to rebuke people. That's loving to rebuke people. And he said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are. For the Son of Man has come not to destroy, or has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. So can you see? They had hate, they had anger, they had vengeance, they had sin, they had partiality, all kinds of things, pride. They weren't considering Jesus' true mission, but they wanted to be puffed up. They wanted to go out and do power and destroy. They wanted to discount a man because he wasn't with them. All wrong motives per Christ, and Christ put them in their place. So again, this was not about a false teacher. This was not about somebody who's against the faith. This is about a man doing the Lord's work, casting out demons. No false doctrine at play here. If there was false doctrine, I promise you, he either would have been rebuked or Jesus would have warned about him like he did with the Pharisees. There's another one. Go read where Jesus over and over and over dealt with and rebuked the Pharisees. He never, ever, ever allowed them to teach falsely without warning people about it. This man clearly got Jesus' approval, and he wasn't teaching any false doctrine. Last point I have for you. Ready? Jesus said this in John 10:16. I have other sheep, or other sheep I have, King James English, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Now, I understand, I get it. Most people are going to tell you, yeah, that's talking about the Gentiles. I get it. But this man that was doing these things, what category does he fall into? Do we know? Was he a Gentile? Was he a Jew? Was he a total pagan from somewhere? We don't even know. Could he not be a Gentile? Could he not be one of his other sheep from another fold? You know, again, in the Bible, it's showing us that God has workers scattered all over, right? We can't be prideful and think we're the only ones. Even though I teach over and over, it's few. I don't see hardly any people doing the work of God. You'll never hear me say God's remnant's not out there. You'll never hear me say God doesn't have his people all over the world scattered all over working. I know he does. Just because I don't see him, who am I? What difference does that make? I'm trusting in the Lord. My eyes are on the Lord. My eyes are on the Word. My eyes are on the Spirit. The day I keep my eyes on other men to be encouraged only by their ministry, I'm in big trouble. Because Noah would have failed. Noah kept his eyes on the Lord. There was no one else to keep his eyes on. We don't even know if Noah's wife and sons and daughter-in-laws were believers. We only know Noah was a believer. So God has his workers scattered all over, as few as they are. Matthew 7 tells us a puny few are going to find eternal life. And so this man was probably another scattered worker doing the work of the Lord. And I have to say, all of this reminds me of what Apostle Paul, Brother Paul said. Ready? Philippians 1:16-18. This is where Paul's dealing with men that are preaching with bad motives, kind of like these disciples had bad motives. One preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I'm set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. Yea, I will rejoice. So, Paul's not saying, hey, they're false teachers are telling people about Jesus. That's not what he's saying. These men had a wrong motive. They weren't preaching from a true motive, but they were preaching true doctrine. Paul never would have approved of false doctrine, false ways. Paul is the one that said in 1 Timothy 4:16, hold fast to sound doctrine by which you are saved and them that hear thee. Right? So Paul also dealt with this type of situation with someone else, and he would have rebuked them if they were in total false teaching. So these men had wrong motives, kind of like the disciples, but they had truth, they had sound doctrine. There wasn't 40,000 different cults roaming around out there, and heresy and false gospels and man-made ways, Christmas, Easter, Good Friday, worldliness, were not making the rounds inside the body of Christ. They weren't. Other things were. They had strife, they had envy, they had some sexual sin. Eventually, Paul says ravenous wolves will come in, and some heresies came in like modalism, oneness, things like that. But it's nothing like it is today. It was nothing back then like it is today. So ponder all these things. These men were not teaching false doctrine. And I need to remind you of something else. The heart of the Father is shown by the people that go out and do his work, and he receives them and doesn't call them out, doesn't rebuke, doesn't correct, doesn't send people to correct them. If you remember back in Numbers 15, go read it, God always allowed Gentiles to come join the Israelites. Yep. If you came and did what he commanded, you could join them. So as long as you were in sound doctrine, you could be in the Father, in the nation. Today, as long as you're in sound doctrine, you can be in Christ. You can be born of his blood covenant. But you can't go outside of his doctrine and his word. Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. The word is truth, okay? And his word is the truth, which means we're sanctified by his word, he says in John 17:17. So we must cling to that word. John 15, he says, we will remain and abide in his word. So this is all about the truth, and nothing in this text shows that a man was teaching false ways, man-made doctrine, anything that needed rebuking or correcting. So if you just read Mark 9, 38 through 40, or Luke 9, 59 through 50, or those other areas I read in Luke 9, without reading anything into it, then take from it what we know from God's word all the way around, Old Testament, New Testament, the Gospels, the Epistles, and know how God and the disciples and Jesus dealt with false doctrine, we simply see a man not associated to the disciples, knowing about Jesus, using his name to cast out demons. No false doctrines, no sin that we know of, no error, no man-made traditions are ever alluded to regarding this man. Only when you add to the story, dangerous to add and take away from God's word, Deuteronomy and Revelation 22, get your name taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life if you do that. Most people add or take away, and then they try to say, you shouldn't call out people even though they have false doctrine against the word of God or sin or things that you disagree with. No, the Bible says we're supposed to call out false teachers and false doctrine. This man was not in that category. He was doing what the Lord said he could do back then, casting out demons in the Lord's name. That would be totally unbiblical, totally heretical, total biblical, unbiblical nonsense, foreign against God's word, to add to Mark 9 that man was in any false ways whatsoever. God is not the author of confusion. 1 Corinthians 14:33. So let's not confuse the clear message of his word, but let's believe it for what it says. Don't add to it. Don't take away. Truth always must reign. Sound doctrine must always be upheld. Why? Ephesians 5:9. Part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is goodness, righteousness, and truth. Never forget that. One other point I wanted to add was, if you go look up Acts 18, the account of Aquila and Priscilla dealing with a man named Apollos. I love this. All this guy knew was the baptism by John, and he was excited about it. He didn't know anything else. And they took him and they explained the full truth to him. This guy was ready to be a worker, but all he had was one part or a small part of the doctrine. He wasn't in sin. He wasn't in false ways. He wasn't against Christ, right? He just needed to be more fully rooted. Keep in mind, these people back then didn't have the full word of God. Today, we have Genesis to Revelation. We have the full revealed word of God. We actually have the Holy Spirit to indwell and teach us all things. John 16:13, teach us all truth. So remember that as we're dealing with all of these topics, like Mark 9, where people say, you should never call out anyone because they're not united to you. I never call out anyone because they're not united to me. The only time that happens is if someone acts unloving or they slander, that type of thing. Yeah, that's not biblical to be unloving, to slander someone else in the faith. But just because someone's not united to me doesn't mean they get a call out or rebuke because of doctrine. We test to their doctrine. I just told a man today that came up to our van here. I was working. A couple came up. We talked to him for half an hour. Got to pour tons of truth into them. It's what God does out here. He uses us. And I told this man that we must be in the word. We must know the doctrines. We must apply them to ourselves, our house, and anyone we're associated with. And then anyone we come across, we test them to the word of God. Test their gospel. Test their lives. See if they're selling the things of God. See if there's any sin or false ways in them. And if there is, correct them. And if they won't leave it, don't unite to them. So this man, one man, out casting out a demon in Jesus' name, no reason to believe he was in any false doctrine. That's adding to the word of God. So always use good exegesis Avoid eisegesis. Avoid proof texting. Don't read into the scriptures. Study to be that which is approved, a worker that need not be ashamed. I'm going to leave it right there. This has been Brother Tupos. Love you all. We're on the gospel road, out here in the world, preaching Christ crucified. What a glorious thing we get to do. The Father is so gracious and lets us do it every single day. We are not worthy, but we strive to be, and we're striving for perfection, and we're striving for that city. We have no city right now. We have no place of our own, but we are looking forward for that city. We're looking for the city, the New Jerusalem, and the kingdom of God one day. We want to be in it. We want to be part of it, and we're going to strive via the gospel. We want you to do that too. Let us know how we can help you in the faith. We love you all. Till next time, repent and obey the gospel. Check it out at don'tperish.com. Go out. Have a joyous day, and may God be praised.